broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
We, the Muslim Americans, are fighting for our rights.
Now, this is no substitute for a referendum on the president's job-killing
agenda. And that's what really scared me, and I just don't think that there's enough
depth. If you want to fly a flag that represents something...
What's a gay what?
I've been vegetarian for 7 years, going on 8.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We take things very seriously here. Our laughs are truth. Truth is our bitch. Laughs are our bitch. And our website is our bitch, philhenryshow.com. Go there, find live streaming video right now of the show, me talking on video, and us performing the show. Also, hours and hours, years and years of archived material, the greatest radio show in history, one of the great satirical presentations, shall I say, in the history of talk radio. I would never deign to say we're better than some of the, you know, the heavy hitters out there, but we do our thing. You know, we get by. We swim along. Anyway, so check it out, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And also, your backstage pass gets you access to our comment feed, as well as a guaranteed email response from me and a whole lot of other goodies. A Ground Zero mosque supporter is filmed berating and cursing at a Holocaust survivor for being against the mosque. So we'll talk about that. The ACLU goes after a prison for their cavity searches of female prisoners. And Don Berman and Margaret Graham will join us this evening. Don Berman, Channel 19, is doing a series called Stand Up for Yourself. How many people actually say something when the service is bad, when the bill is too high, when a part is missing, when something hasn't been done right, when the job hasn't been done right? How many people actually do stand up and say, this is wrong, and how many people just go ahead and pay for it? You'll be surprised to find out with Don Berman coming up later. In fact, he himself is involved in this story. That's interesting. Margaret Gray with us in just a moment to talk about the AAA. Well, we're not just talking about the Automobile Club. We're talking about all of the predictions every year, including Margaret's own and the column that she writes, Little Bird Told Me, on highway fatalities. Margaret, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on. It's a very important topic, and I'm very grateful to be able to talk about it because I think a lot of people think that I do nothing but entertainment writing, and certainly as a mother and as a wife, this is important.
It is an important topic. And it's a topic that every year that's right, there's people on the highway, and...
Well, Phil, every year we have in the neighborhood of 500 to 600 people killed by way of automobile accidents. Highway fatalities in the United States involve not just men and women, but children as well. They involve the elderly. They involve white and black. This is the most American of all phenomenon. And that is the highway fatality, the automobile accident. It's a tragedy, and it is something that good people like the people at AAA, yes, and people at the National Highway Institute, yes, and the NTSB, and also our business in the publishing business, and certainly here at Dicklin Syndicates, we do what we can to alert the public as to what it is they can do.
Now, you every year, this is part of a Labor Day series that you do, and that is the prediction of the number of people that are going to die on a Labor Day weekend. You know, that's an interesting thing. I wanted to ask you, where did that start?
You know, Phil, I don't know that anybody knows.
I was going to ask, where did it start that this Labor Day weekend, you know, this many people are going to die?
Phil, I really don't know. I think it started with the very, very small baby steps that the media was taking in trying to eliminate drunk driving. And I think to the extent that they were attempting to, I guess, frighten drivers into staying sober, they would say, well, this weekend there will be this many people killed as the result of drinking and driving, so don't let that be one of you. And then it took off from there. And then we had, every year, we had NTSB. We had the National Highway, the National Safety Council, I should say. We had a lot of different people predicting the numbers of fatalities on the highways, regardless of drinking and driving. And that's what I got into with Dicklin Syndicate. That's what we do. And we do it as a way of helping people understand how dangerous it is out there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, why do you do it? Now, you're not doing it, you know, for drunk driving.
No, this doesn't have anything to do with drunk driving, because the message, I think the message on drunk driving is out there. But the message on texting and driving, for instance, the message on using a cell phone and driving, that's not out there yet, Phil. People still don't know the dangers of that. They know the dangers of driving after you've been drinking. But they still don't know the dangers of these other distractions. And so, yes, to that end, in my column every year, we attempt to make a prediction as to how many people are going to die on the highways. And we tie that in, Phil, as well to the other work that I do here at Dickland Syndicate.
When you say you tie that in, what do you mean?
Well, my publisher takes a look at, first of all, how many newspapers I'm published in. My publisher takes a look at the information that I provide my readers. Is it usable information? Is it accurate information? And I literally am paid on the accuracy of the information that I provide. And here's where it gets a little tricky here, because I don't want people to misunderstand. I write a column every Labor Day, and in it I say this many people. For instance, this Labor Day weekend, I have predicted there will be 600 fatalities on the highways of America. And that is the same number that I put it at last year.
And how many people died last year?
Last year, it was in the neighborhood of 520. So the number that I gave in my column did not match the actual number of people that died on the highway. And I thank God, on the one hand, Phil, because not as many people died as I analyzed the situation to be. But again, by the same token, because of the arrangement I have with my publisher, I don't get bonused on information that's accurate. So in a way, I'm grateful, obviously, for the fact that the number is not that high. I'm not grateful because I don't get that Labor Day bonus based upon the accuracy of my numbers. So it's kind of an interesting job. It's very tricky.
Well, so you're telling me that you are getting extra money, not for the number of people that die.
No. I get a bonus, a Labor Day bonus, on the accuracy of the number. And my number last year was pretty accurate, Phil. It was based upon what I know about the American people and what I know of their habits. The fact that it was 503, I think, was very, very surprising. And I did talk to Francesca, who owns the Dickland Syndicate, and I said, you know, I don't know whether that number is accurate or not, and I still don't.
All right, well, what the number was 503 people died nationally.
503 nationally. My prediction was 600, and my prediction was pretty accurate, Phil. It's based upon, I feed a lot of information into the computer. I feed in the number of cars, the number of drunk driving arrests during the year and so forth. So my number was very, very accurate, and the number that came back, I had a hard time believing it. And nonetheless, though, I missed the bonus. And I did have a very interesting conversation with my editor.
Well, all right. You know, it's funny. You're saying that you predicted last Labor Day there would be 600 people who would die in highway accidents.
That's correct.
All right. And only 500 and... So you overshot it by...
About 100.
All right, about 100.
Yeah.
And so because that information was inaccurate, this pay scale, this bonus that you get...
And Phil, I don't want it to seem like it's about money.
All right, no, I know it's not about money, but you don't get paid unless your information's accurate.
That is exactly right. And I think it is a legitimate way to look at the news and the information that's given. But as I say, I really do feel that it was not fair.
Let me give our phone number out here, Margaret. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray talking about the number of fatalities that she expects this Labor Day And the number of fatalities that you predicted last Labor Day, which was not up to the number, or it was too many. Is that right?
Yes. We overshot it by 100.
That's right. So you didn't get paid a bonus. And that's interesting. So the good news...
Well, let me give you the bottom line, Phil. This year, we have put the number at 600 again. I don't believe the number last year was accurate. I don't believe the American people all of a sudden became good drivers. I don't think the American people all of a sudden stopped drinking. I think what happened was that there was some kind of a glitch in the data that was coming down the line, or someone purposely manipulated the data so that I find it very difficult to believe that, but I don't mean at Diglin, but somewhere down the line toward the NTSB, someone manipulated the information so that newspaper writers that were accurate would not get paid their bonus. But I am saying that I do think 600 Americans are going to die this year. I think 600 died last year. But for some reason, only 503 was reported. It's disturbing because I hope only 500 people died last year, but I don't think they did. I think it was closer to 600, and as a result, my family had a hardship as a result of that.
Well, your family, you didn't get paid a bonus.
But it was a hardship for my family that they lied about the number of people that died on the freeway, if, in point of fact, it was a lie. If, in point of fact, it was actually an accurate number, then I think the American people, I don't know what happened last year, but I don't buy that it's going to remain at 500. The American people haven't sobered up automatically. They haven't suddenly become better drivers. So, Phil, no, I think it is going to be closer to 600 this year if there hasn't been some fraud in the reporting of the numbers.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray is joining us. You believe 600 people will die on the highways this year, and if it's any lower than that, if the number comes in, Margaret, at something lower, what do you think?
If the number comes in at something lower, I think the American people are... I think they're in over their head. I think they are... For 1 year or 2 years, they're exerting themselves to the point where they are about 100 under what should be the fatality level. I don't buy it. I certainly do not hope that people die, Phil. I hope with every breath that people are all right this year, but I'm sorry, I know too much about the human race. And the American people, if they only die to the tune of 500 every Labor Day weekend, I think they are exerting themselves to a level that cannot last. And it's a little disappointing, you know.
Well, why do you call it disappointing?
Well, I think they're fooling themselves.
Because, Margaret, you're saying that there's going to be 600 fatalities, and there's only 500... They're making an exertion that can't hold up. So what, should they just go back to drinking and driving the way they usually do?
I think it would be more honest if people drove more honestly. Look, if you drink and drive, and you suddenly don't drink over Labor Day weekend, who are you kidding? You're not kidding anyone other than yourself. If you text and drive, who are you kidding? The only person you're hurting is a person like myself, who predicts accurately 600 people will die on the freeways, and then people, I can't explain it, but people just simply, they just don't drive that good, and they're just not driving that sober.
And you're out a bonus check.
And my family, I don't want to say I'm out of bonus check, Phil, my family suffers as a result.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Margaret Gray about Labor Day fatalities. She predicts they will be in the neighborhood of 600. She thought they would be around 600 last year. She said it's impossible. The American people can't possibly have learned how to drive sober. And if she doesn't meet that number, if, in other words, the fatalities are lower, she doesn't get paid a bonus. So she's caught between a rock and a hard place. She wants people to be safe, but she needs for people to die to the tune of 600 this weekend in order to make this bonus. And she believes somebody is manipulating the numbers. It's a very interesting story. We'll be back to talk more with Margaret Gray about it here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I forgot Phil. I forgot the Phil part.
Are you talking to me?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I apologize. I gave a part of our phone number going into the break. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And joining me online from Santa Monica, California, a writer for the Dicklin Syndicate with 150 newspapers carrying her column, A Little Bird Told Me, is Margaret Gray, as we talk about the Labor Day weekend. And a very interesting phenomenon of predicting how many fatalities there will be. I know that the Highway Safety Council, various police agencies, they all do this prediction game. And you say, Margaret, it goes back to the days of when people were really concerned about drunk driving. Now, you have predicted 600 fatalities for this weekend, as you did last year. And last year, the number was way under. Thus, you miss this bonus that you get paid by your publisher. So what do you say to people who say, you're hoping for more deaths because you're going to get paid?
Phil, I, anyone that says that just doesn't understand what it is to be a writer. It's like saying, if I were a teacher and I got paid per student that graduated, I would obviously be very, very concerned if someone said to me only 22 graduated and I know that 30 graduated. So I'm simply saying, Phil, that if you're going to pay me based upon the information that I give out and its accuracy, and I say that 600 people are going to die this weekend, and I say that with great sadness because I know that it is a human tragedy, but nonetheless, 600 people are going to be killed in fatalities on the highway, then you had better count those fatalities properly. Otherwise, you are robbing my family. You are stealing from me, and the American people themselves know full well that they haven't all of a sudden learned how to be responsible drivers.
So if they say it's another 500 people that died this weekend, you'll say what?
I will say that there is some kind of manipulation going on behind the scenes. I don't know if it has to do with reporting internationally. If it has something to do with the United Nations, I don't know. If it has to do with Obama and the Obama administration or enemies of Obama. But I can tell you right now, 600 people will die on the highways of America this weekend. And if they report 500, they're lying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jeff in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am. I feel like your comments are absurd. For you to say that people should be more honest and if they drink and drive, you know, half the time,
yeah,
they should go
absolutely
ahead and continue to do the same thing during the holiday season.
I think every
day that they get on the roadway and don't drink and drive, whether it's one day a year or 50, is a good day.
I don't understand. When you say that people are actually driving better, but then the next day they go back to driving the same way, what good is that?
If they drive better one day a year than they normally would, and drive sober one day than they normally wouldn't, then that's a good day.
And that is a day that has robbed my family and I from a piece of income. When I say that 600 people will die on the highways of America, I'm right. When only five.
Now, hold on. How do you say you're right when the number comes back that 510 people died? How can you say you're right?
Because the American people are pretending that they are better drivers than they are. That's really what I'm trying to say to this gentleman. In other words, you know as well as I do, 600 people are going to die on the freeways. And they exert some kind of effort, and only 500 die. It's very difficult to believe. Very difficult.
Well, but I mean, like this man said, you know, people are away.
No, I heard what the man said. I'm not buying it. I think more to the point, the numbers are manipulated.
You're that certain?
I am that certain, yes.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. That man said you were absurd. You know.
Well, he's speaking like a typical talk show caller. I think if one day they don't drive drunk, that's a great... It's very, very sugary. It's very saccharine.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, back with Margaret Gray and the inaccuracy of reporting fatalities on Labor Day weekend.
Phil Hendry.
Margaret Gray joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret, a nationally syndicated columnist for the Dicklin Syndicates, and every year she makes a prediction as to the number of fatalities on the highways around the Independence Day weekend, Memorial weekend, and now coming up to Labor Day weekend, Margaret. And you said the last year and this year you anticipate there will be in the neighborhood of 600. What do you mean by that?
Well, anywhere from 600, Phil. We generally give it a ballpark of 10 one way or the other. That is how accurate our reporting is. Last year they said 500.
Let's talk about that, and then we got some phone calls we want to get to. But the American people magically not drinking and driving only to return to their bad habits after the Labor Day week. Does that seem likely?
Well, it seems likely if you look at it this way, and let me be very, very blunt. It's something you do avoid wanting to talk about, but I'm going to be blunt. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, The Century Counts, America Cares, Ashley Stream Foundation, all of these organizations were started by women with an agenda, and that is to get the drunk drivers off the road. It's a laudable goal, but it is not laudable when you manipulate the numbers so that they go down year in and year out, so that you can maintain funding.
And oh, boy, that's a hell of a charge.
Phil, I know it is a very, very sharp charge, but I am telling you that I know these organizations. I am very accurate with my prediction. I know 600 people died last weekend. I don't. And no one's going to tell me that they didn't. I also know that Mothers Against Drunk Driving and America Cares and all of these marvelous, wonderful names of organizations, they get their funding based upon, I think, the number of drunks is going up. And I get my number from the William Hollister Foundation.
Now, who is he?
William Hollister was a drunk driver that killed a family of six on a very, very remote stretch of highway in Texas 2 years ago. Six people died as a result of him drinking and driving. Now, he is in a medical facility. It is a forensic, it's a prison hospital right now. He's getting treatment, and the William Hollister Foundation helps alcoholics get treatment, the ones that insist on driving when they're drunk. Now, that is far more accurate than going to some sob sister organization.
You know, I'm not going to have you say that, Margaret. I mean, I've heard your opinions, but I'm not going to...
No, this is... Look at the numbers.
I'm not going to hear you call Mothers Against Drunk Driving sob sisters who are manipulating the numbers so that you don't get your bonus. You know...
I'm not saying they're doing it because of me. I'm saying it dovetails very nicely with them getting funding and me not getting the bonus check. That's what I'm saying.
877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray, who says that her prediction of 600 fatalities is correct, but that Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the rest of them manipulate the numbers down. Here is Jeannie in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Yes, Margaret. I agree that there are way too many drunk drivers on the road, but I think if anybody is manipulating anything, it's you with... Your main comment has been that you are missing money by not getting the numbers.
Well, don't you think Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they're the same way? If they don't get the numbers down, then they miss their money, you see? So
okay.
I think...
Are you telling me that they... Are you telling me that they would manipulate the numbers for one person not to get a bonus?
No, but I am saying they manipulate the numbers to keep their funding coming. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they get a certain amount of money from the government. If they show that they're getting results, that money continues. If they don't, and yet the William Hollister Foundation doesn't get nickel one, just donations.
But the William Hollister Foundation, that's named after a... He's not a victim, right?
He most certainly is a victim, Phil.
But no, but you said he's a drunk driver.
Yes, a victim. A victim of an alcohol-soaked society.
But he killed six people with his drunk driving.
Phil, it doesn't matter who died and who lived. All of the people are victims in this cycle. And what I would say to Jeannie is this. Look into it, Jeannie. I know 600 people died last Labor Day. My family was robbed. Would you allow that to happen to your family? Is the lady there?
I guess she hung up.
Let me ask you a question.
I guess she's hung up already.
No, she's here.
Well, why didn't you talk when I said, are you there?
Never mind. She's there now.
If you are accurate on your numbers,
all the time in the
then
world,
you should have someone, you should be able to back that up. There shouldn't be a problem with that.
What?
But if you're not accurate, if it's about the money, why didn't you just go ahead and estimate a lower number this year? Because that seems what's
I'm
coming
about,
out in,
you
your,
know why?
In your conversation.
Because I'm about
that's
truth.
Coming out
I'm
is about
truth.
The money.
I'm about
well,
truth.
Well, that's
and
not
I have
what's
to tell
coming
the
out.
Truth.
I'm sorry, that's
oh,
not
really?
What's coming out. What's coming out is that you're upset because you missed the bonus.
No, yeah, I'm upset that
truly,
someone is. I'm upset that mothers against drunk driving
are lying. If you're
upset
about the people that are driving drunk, then that needs to be the only thing that comes out. Your bonus should not even come in on it. You should
I
not
am upset
even
about the
that.
People that manipulate the numbers down. I'm upset about Ashley's dream, whatever that is.
That was named after a young lady that was killed by a drunk driver.
Well, Phil, that's all very neat, and it's all very sensitive. But if those people are manipulating numbers so that Margaret Gray and her son and her husband eat less, someone is going to have to answer to the, you know, as the saying goes, the big dog. You see what I'm saying? I know Jeannie knows what I'm saying. You're a mother. You have a family. Are you going to let your family starve?
Your family's not starving, Margaret. It was a bonus check that you didn't get.
Based upon Ashley's dream lying.
We don't know that that is the case, and I don't think that you should continue to repeat that. Jeannie, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Tom in Toronto, Canada, listening on CFRB. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I have a question for the lady. Perhaps I don't understand U.S. Traditions or customs, but I've never heard of any employer giving someone a bonus check for making a prediction. I mean, that's a great gig. Is
no,
this common practice in the States?
It's information, whether the information is accurate or not. We are
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Information, whether the information is accurate. We are paid by
like, what's the point
skills.
Of this?
Are we ferreting out the right information? The point is that people come back and read your publication again if they're getting reliable information.
I mean, why is your employer
see,
giving you money
you really
for
had
a
good,
prediction?
You thought you really had a good point, didn't you, when you called in?
I don't understand. I honest to God,
I know
understand.
You don't understand.
Can
I know,
you just tell me
you do,
why your
you
employer
confused.
Is giving you money to do a prediction? Are you not a journalist?
I just told you.
I'm sorry. I guess we have a bad connection. If you could say that again.
Yeah, I think so. It's probably the Canada. They might want to do some maintenance on it.
Well, look, tell the man basically what she's saying, Tom.
I can do it, Phil.
No, I'll tell him. She's saying that because she predicts accurately, she gets a bonus because that means that readers come back to the publication knowing that information that they get is concise and correct.
So readers...
That's what I already told him that. And now...
I see. I'm sorry,
about
I didn't...
A minute explaining this to this guy. I'm telling you, Phil.
Will you let me run the show, Margaret, if you don't mind?
Yes, sir. I guess I kind of understand, but I guess the question is this: if this was done here in Canada, I guess it's just a different culture.
Yeah.
Nobody would get it. No one would understand it. I don't know why readers would care.
Well, there's
and
a lot
I mean,
they don't get in Canada.
Respect,
you know.
Why would they care about your prediction? I mean, who cares what you predict? But I guess people in America do.
Yeah, they do. They care about information being accurate. In Canada, they don't. And that's you don't have much to worry about.
How is it accurate if you're predicting it? I don't know, see
it
how it's accurate if
once
it's not a scientific study.
Once the number comes out and it shows that I was correct, it's accurate. Get it?
Okay, I get it.
I want to talk to the guy, okay? I'm talking to him. All right, Tom?
Yes.
Thanks very much. 877-876-PHIL, and I think the man's question is a good question. He's asking, why is it you get bonused on the... And I understand. You get bonused on accurate information. That means readers come back. But you're making it sound as if you're hoping that more people die.
What I want to see happen, Phil, more than anything else, is that accurate reporting of fatalities on the highways is reinstituted or reinstated, or that accurate reporting on fatalities on the highways of America becomes accurate again. Because 500 people, and I said 600 because I've seen the way these people drink on Labor Day weekend. You asked me to prove it. I can't prove it, but I can smell, and Phil, forgive me for saying this, it's almost like a pail of garbage. I can smell Mothers Against Drunk Driving somewhere around these false numbers.
And then you mentioned the William Hollister Foundation, which this is an alcoholic who killed six people and is currently receiving treatment. And the money that I donate to the William Hollister Foundation goes to other drunk drivers.
That is correct. And that, you know what that's called? I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Christianity.
Well, I would not, Margaret. Let's not attribute this to a religion. I've never heard of a foundation.
Well, now you have, Phil.
Of a foundation that raises money to go to the treatment of an not just alcoholics, but people that have killed other people?
It is a yes, it's a foundation that goes to treating men who have been driving at the time others died, yes.
And they didn't.
And they didn't. And I guess you want them to. Is that I'm called morbid, and you want these men to die as well?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that we have a very, very strange set of conflicting values here. Here is Hank in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hank, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Hey, Margaret. First, I don't want to argue.
Yeah,
I really don't, because you are a very confrontation person. You don't let anybody speak, so I'm gonna try to make this quick and directly to the point.
No, that's not true.
First of all, you know, it does seem like that you're out to make money off of people's death. I mean, bottom line, you know. I mean, and then you sit up and say your main concern is about accuracy. You know, if you have that much compassion, see what I'm saying, for accuracy, you should have that much compassion about someone out here drunk driving. And see what I'm saying? And then again, if you hear me out, and then I'm going to let you speak, and I'm going to listen to you, okay, for one. I've been listening to this from all the way. So just be quiet for 1 second and let me speak, okay? Second of all, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's you. But you sound like you're nothing for compassion about death of nobody's drunk driving. It seems like it's about the dollar for you. So if you don't reach 600, you say, you know, the numbers that you put up project as to get your bonus, you know, well, I mean, that's life. I mean, every single thing is not always a conspiracy, always out to get you. And it's just like you said, out to get you, or the job is out to get you. You know what? You want to make money off of death, sweetheart, you and your family ought to open up a funeral home, okay? That's what you ought to open up. And then, therefore, you can do what you want with the deaths, okay? All right? You know, so that's
all right, can I say something now?
You know, all right,
now
I'll shut my mouth and say what you got to say.
I heard Mr. Hendry laughing and encouraging you, so that's two men against one woman. That's all right.
Margaret. I thought the man made a very good point when he said that, you know, that's life. You know,
that's life. Let me tell you what life is.
Margaret, listen to what you say. Listen, you know what? After the show is over, if you have a recording, you should sit back and take 10, not even 10
I
minutes.
You
want to listen to yourself. You are really, it takes 3 minutes. It takes 3 to 4 minutes to listen to your conversation
so
and see what you're about.
I predicted 600 people would die in fatalities Why are they lying and telling me only 500 when you don't?
How do you know? Where do you have the proof, the facts, and the evidence that they're lying? If you had one of those, Margaret, then I would be on your side. But Margaret,
I'll tell you what. I'm giving you the proof. Mothers against drunk driving.
That's not proof. Talking about mothers against drunk driving is not proof. Saying that you got a problem with the, and you called Sob Sisters. Boy, what a thing to say to an organization of people that came about as a result of kids being killed. And you're a mother. I would think that you'd care.
I do care. The William Hollister Foundation donates money to alcoholic men.
Yeah, guys that have killed other people? That's not what I call a foundation that's going to keep people from drinking and driving. That
is a foundation that attacks the very problem. It sobers up the guys.
See, more about the deaths. Your fuss should be more about the deaths and drink driving and then famigating about, I didn't get my bonus, so my family
Here's
is solid.
Here's how I know they're lying.
I bet you your paycheck. I bet you your paycheck that your family is not starving no more than what I am. I bet you. See what I'm saying? And I've been laid off, sweetheart. I'm a former restaurant manager. We get bonuses in the restaurant for projecting our numbers and getting them right. And when we don't get them right, Margaret, we don't go to the GM or to the head of the company and say,
Someone fabricated this number. You know
that. I projected this.
But you know what's happening now? I have to hope that 700 people die just to get the number up to 6. That's what I've got to do. I've got to hope now for people to die. I didn't want to do that.
And that's because, God, man, that doesn't bother you that you want people to die so you can get your number up there? That's the thing.
No, listen, when I see a leg of lamb, when I see a beef roast, when I see something in the store that I'd like to buy and I decide I won't buy it, yes, I can afford it, but I don't buy it because I say that's my bonus. And when I get home, I'll tell Frank and I'll tell Jason, I didn't get that roast beef because Mothers Against Drunk Driving decided to commit female prison rape.
Female prison rape.
Yes. On me.
Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. The Phil Henry Show.
Oh, what? You're not going to talk to me?
I'm not going to talk to you. 877-876-PHIL. The Phil Henry Show.
It's
Margaret Gray.
The Phil Henry Show.
Hello? I don't like being ignored.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Coming up next hour, Don Berman talks to us about a feature they're doing on Channel 19, Standing Up for Yourself. That's next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don Berman, the Emmy Award-winning news anchor there at Channel 19. Margaret Gray is with us. We're wrapping up here in this series of comments about Labor Day fatalities this weekend, Labor Day, and you have been paid a bonus in years past as to how accurate your reporting is, and you are saying now that you've been getting screwed by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And
here's my point.
No, wait, hold on for a minute, Margaret.
I've had you and this other man, I don't know his name, telling me to be quiet and let me finish, and then I let you finish, and then I start talking again. And
I'm going to let you talk. I'm simply saying that your evidence here is that you believe Mothers Against Drunk Driving is manipulating the numbers so they keep their funding going, and yet you don't have any real proof of that.
Let me give you my proof, and there isn't a woman listening right now that doesn't know what I'm talking about. If I were Jake Tapper, if I were Major Garrett, if I were any one of the male reporters, Rick Leventhal, and you know who else, any one of the major male broadcast reporters making this claim, my God, people would be taking it seriously. They'd be looking into it. There'd be three or four other writers assigned to the story. But because it's Margaret Gray, a woman, who is the only individual working in her family right now. Now, you know that Frank is retired, and yes, of course, we are comfortable. But let me tell you, we're not so comfortable that we can look at a paycheck and turn our noses up at it and lift our leg to it. And I seem to think, Phil, that a lot of your listeners think that when I see a paycheck, I hike my skirt, lift my leg, and make like I'm a dog, some sort of a bitch against a hydrant. Well, I can assure you I am not.
And all right, let's not get completely graphic here.
Well, I'm not being graphic. I am repeating essentially what your listeners are saying to me. Jake.
All right, you're making a point. If it was a man.
Yeah, but because I've got a vagina.
What? I can't hear you.
Because I have a vagina.
Margaret, you're whispering again, and I've told you, you know.
All right, because I've got a vagina. There, is that loud enough for you?
All right, I'm sorry, but I can't hear you when you're whispering.
Because of that, I'm not taken seriously. Well, Phil, what it has done is this. Now I hope 600 people die in real fatalities this weekend, so I get my bonus check and I won't feel guilty about it, because I've been treated like something in a body bag. Thank you and good night.
Wow. Don Berman next.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We, the Muslim Americans, are fighting for
our
rights.
And I'm trying to hold him, and I'm telling him that
if you want to fly a flag that represents something you believe in.
Now, this is no substitute for a referendum on the president's job-killing agenda.
Bleeping retarded.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Laughs are our bitch. Life is our bitch. And every night we're here as we take you through the looking glass, checking for that truth. We thank Margaret Gray for joining us, although we do not wish her luck on her prediction. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhenryshow.com. That is the right arm of the Phil Hendry Show. You go there. You have live streaming video of the show right now. You can watch us as we perform the show, as well as listen to it, as well as access all of the thousands and thousands of hours of archived material that we've got from radio shows going back 10, 15 years, as well as our animated episodes, as well as webisodes and podcasts, three different kinds of podcasts. You can get it at philhendryshow.com. You get a half-year subscription or a full-year subscription, but as far as radio websites go, there's no other better value anywhere. All right. Don Berman is going to join us from the Channel 19 newsroom this evening, and we're very grateful to have Don on, as they're going to be talking in the coming week, and we're going to talk to Don right now about a special called Standing Up for Yourself, and this is a part of a series you're doing, not only on Up With People, but on the regular newscast, right, Don?
Yes. Well, Donna is going to be kicking it off in the Up With People segment on Donna De Leon, and then we will take it over on our news segment. But Standing Up For Yourself is a series of reports, Phil, on just the way people treat each other out there and the way we are treating other people. And are we getting our money's worth? Are we getting service when we pay for service, or are we being treated, with a little bit of a slapdash and a bum's rush, if you will? So that's what the essence of the report will be pointing to. How can we feel confident in standing up for ourselves and not be antagonistic?
And that's the challenge, isn't it?
It is.
That's the challenge to say, now hold on, I'd like to say something. This is something I need that I think you did wrong, but you don't want to rub people the wrong way.
And you don't want to rub people the wrong way. You want to say as respectfully as you can. In the case, for instance, of one lady, our first report, which will be starting next Monday, is a woman in Sherman Oaks who went into an auto parts store and was purchasing a part for a car, one of her husband's cars. He's a car collector. And she got a very simple part. And the man that bought the part, figuring she was a woman, decided that he was going to bring her a part that she knew did not exactly belong on the model car that her husband wanted. And she found herself having an argument with this man until she said, you know, I'm not going to pay for that. I want the right part. And she stood up for herself and, in point of fact, left that store without any hard feelings. There's another story we're going to be doing on Tuesday of a dry, something as simple as a dry cleaning bill, where a woman said she was not going to pay for shirts that were in her dry cleaning that she didn't bring in.
That the, what, they got mixed in by somebody else?
It must have been another customer. She absolutely was refusing and was able to work out an arrangement with these individuals, with the dry cleaning store. And then, of course, we're bringing ourselves into the story as well, Phil. We're bringing in a personal experience of mine. When I was over at Little's Deli, which is a great deli, and it is near our it's near the station, and we have our dinners and our lunches there, and oftentimes we'll have a late after newscast meal, we'll have a breakfast. And I went in, and I was with Rick Fidel, who is one of our news editors, and I had a Reuben sandwich, and I ordered extra cheese on the Reuben, and Rick had one plain. And when the waitress came back, she looked at me and said, and you must be the one with the extra cheese. And then she gave Rick his lean Reuben. And I said, in keeping with stand up for yourself, because I was mortified, I got the manager and I said, that waitress looked me up and down and said, you must be the one that gets the extra cheese. And I told him who I was, and he said, I understand it, and I think he watches the newscast. Very, very pleasant man by the name of Barber, Jim Barber. And he said, I'm going to let her go. I said, you don't have to fire her. And this is what I mean about maintaining bridges. Don't fire the girl. You can suspend her. He said, well, a couple of weeks without pay. And I said, 2 weeks without income, I think, is going to teach her. So that is an example, and all of these, Phil, are examples of how to stand up for yourself and at the same time maintain good relations.
Can I ask you about the last one, though? And we're talking with Don Berman, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to him about a new special called Stand Up for Yourself on the Channel 19 News. The last one, I just want to be clear. You ordered a Reuben with extra cheese?
I ordered a Reuben sandwich with extra cheese, yes, and they put the Swiss cheese on it. And Rick Slidell had ordered the Reuben plain, no cheese. When the waitress came to the table, just follow me on this.
Okay.
When the waitress came to the table, she looked at me, and there was a little bit of like a half smile on her face. And Rick said, that's fine, without cheese. And she said, and you must be the one with the extra cheese. With that half smile that we all know what it means, and we all have seen it. And there's no mistaking what she's trying to do. And put the plate in front of me, and the comment very clearly was, here's your Reuben, fatso. And that's when I had this man, Barber. I said, let me have the manager. And, of course, when you ask for the manager, and now she knows the game's up. And he came over, and I said, I told him, I said, that waitress was giving me some kind of a look and said something about how I get extra cheese as if I look like the kind of guy that eats extra cheese. Now, let's be fair, Phil. I do carry extra weight.
Yeah, I mean, you're like me.
Yes, I have a few extra pounds. And
you and I are both going to be doing that diet that Jason gave us.
Right, that high-protein diet. But that's got nothing to do with her making an issue out of me getting the extra cheese because she thinks I'm a fat pig. So when I said to this guy, and he said to me, well, he said, which one? And I said, before I tell you, I'm Don Berman. I'm with Channel 19 News. And he said, yes. And I said, I'm with Channel 19 News. It's over here. He said, yes, he remembered. And I said, he said, what would you like me to do? I said, well, I think suspending her for 2 weeks without pay, he was going to fire her.
Okay.
And suspending her for 2 weeks without pay, and I said to him, 2 weeks without income is going to wipe that grin off her face, and he laughed. He said, yeah. So when you stand up for yourself, you don't necessarily have to burn any bridges.
What about the bridge with the waitress?
Well, that's not who I'm talking. I'm talking about burning bridges with the management, with the establishment. The waitress is the waitress. She works for the place. I'm talking about you can stand up for yourself and you can still maintain excellent relations with the business that you are having the dispute with.
And yeah, but I misunderstood. She's going to be angry, though, isn't she?
Who?
The waitress.
You're back to talking about the waitress. I thought you were talking about the manager. So you give me the question again about the waitress?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, the waitress is going to be angry.
Well, the waitress is going to be whatever the waitress is going to be. She came over with the cheese. If you just, as I said, Phil, follow me on this.
No, I follow you, Don.
Okay, so you understand?
Yes, I understand she came to the table with a Reuben, and you had ordered extra cheese?
I ordered an extra slice of Swiss cheese, yes. Swiss cheese, by the way, for anybody listening, is not a very high-fat cheese. And I think it's a pretty low blow. Oh, hey, you got the extra cheese with that smile. So I don't know why we're talking about the waitress, though, but
well, I just, when you said good relations, I thought
I meant with the establishment, but let's go, I'll go with you on this. The waitress comes over and she says,
now you did mention that Rick got his first.
What?
Did you say that Rick got?
Yeah, Rick said, that's mine without cheese. He said, put it down to, and you must be the one with the extra cheese. Now,
okay, right there. Do you understand that the waitress, once she puts down the one to Rick's, she gives to Rick, she realizes there's only one left.
No, I know that. There's only one left, and it's the one with extra cheese.
And so she's going to say to you, and you must be the one with the extra cheese, because Rick got the one without.
I understand all of that. I'm way ahead of you on that. But she looked at me with that smile that says, well, you know, you look like about the fattest thing in here. Of course you've got extra cheese. That's what I mean. I'm not talking about how she got the order wrong. No. And I'm not saying that Rick didn't get his first. What I am saying is, she goes, and you must be the one with the extra cheese. And she gave me that look up and down. She went from the waist, which is, I've got a very prominent stomach, and I'm not going to deny that. And she looked me up and down, and she said, and you must be the one with the extra cheese. Now, only a fool, only a complete and utter unconscious fool isn't going to know what that means. And I am not that. I can assure you I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a fool. And then, so that's why I called the manager over.
Now, the manager heard your story and agreed with you.
He most certainly did. I said, I'm Don Berman from Channel 19 News. And I said, that waitress was rude. She looked at me and she said, so you must be the one that gets the extra cheese. And he said, I understand. And he said, I will fire her. And I said, no, I think 2 weeks without salary. And he goes, fine. And
did he, this is a stupid question, did he recognize who you were?
Did he recognize who I was?
Yeah.
Of course, yes. I told him. I said, I work right over there. I'm Don Berman, Channel 19 News. And he looked very rushed. So in standing up for yourself, we got a little sidetracked here, Phil, but standing up for yourself means you don't have to take it from a waitress who is going to get off a jolly at your expense, who's going to say, well, the extra cheese, it's got to go to Blimpo.
Well, all right, I'm looking forward to the report. Can I just pose this?
All right.
Do you think that could have been read a different way? Do you think that could have been read very innocently, like she's saying, oh, you got the one without cheese, you must be the one with cheese?
Can you read it differently? How?
Is it possible that you misinterpreted her?
No, it's not possible. We've done the report. It's in the can. It's going to be featured on Wednesday night. The answer to that is no, and I'm not here discussing it. I'm saying to you that's what happened, and here's how I dealt with it, and this is how we made it right, and we didn't burn any bridges with the deli. And you're saying that what? You're saying because a waitress got fired? She didn't get fired. She got suspended for 2 weeks.
All right. Okay. Fair enough, Don. I just would throw that out to my audience, though. Do they think perhaps you overreacted?
I don't know what you're throwing out to your audience now, and I don't know what constructive are you going to get out of this, taking a segment that we've already produced. I mean, I'm willing to talk about it.
I just think that it's possible, and if you'll hold on, Don, I think it's just possible that when the waitress came back with the Reuben sandwich with the extra cheese on it and said to you, and you must be the one with the extra cheese, she was not commenting on how fat you are. She wasn't being rude at all. She was simply saying, since I gave this Reuben to this gentleman here that has no cheese on it, you must be the man who gets the extra cheese. However, Don Berman read it differently. He said she was being rude. He talked to the manager at the deli there at Little's. They suspended her without pay for 2 weeks, and I'm wondering whether or not that had to do with Don's position as a news anchor across the street at Channel 19. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is a Channel 19 special that Don's doing called Standing Up for Yourself. And I'm just wondering if that was standing up for himself or was he targeting this girl unfairly because she said, you get the extra cheese. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So we're going to talk about this now? I got it right.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We're very happy to have with us tonight Don Berman from Channel 19 News, Emmy Award-winning local newscaster in Los Angeles, but he's been seen nationally, and they're doing a special on standing up for yourself in business and out there in the world, whether we're customers, whether we are the proprietor, whether we're on one end of the business deal or the other. Sometimes we need to stand up for ourselves, but not be rude about it, and not be argumentative, and not be confrontational. And the Stand Up For Yourself segment series is going to be starting next Monday. That's what that's about. It's just I had the question about the Reuben sandwich, Don.
Well, I don't know why I've got to go over there.
Well, hold on. Just if you could hear me out for a minute. And Don, believe me, I respect you, and I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench in. But when you say to a waitress who has brought over two sandwiches, there are 2 men at the table.
No, I've gone through this. And I'm very appreciative, and I understand you're trying to explain this to your audience, but I've gone through this. You understand?
And no, I understand, but I want to, for my own purposes. Rick Seidel is there. He's one of your editors. Good guy. I know Rick. And he's getting the Reuben without cheese, and you get the one with cheese. She brings it. She puts down the one without cheese. She looks at you, and she says,
And you get the one. You must be the guy that gets the extra cheese, and she's got that look on her face, and we've all seen it, with that half smile. Boy, look at the fat tub of guts. You must be the one that gets the...
Well, I mean, the fat tub of guts.
That's what she... The look on her face was as clear as day. Again, you want to argue about something that's already established. She came over with a napkin, and there was a plate of liquid butter. They had some shrimp. And she comes over with a napkin, and she's got that look, which is basically, here, take this and dunk it in the liquid butter and suck on it, because that's the kind of guy you are.
Did she said that?
She didn't have to. See, that's what I'm telling you.
She didn't have to do what?
She didn't have to say, I told you already what she did, and I don't see that this is serving any purpose.
Well, for my listeners, I just wanted to know. So she brought over a napkin and there was liquid butter.
She brought over a napkin, there was liquid butter, and she goes, here. And she has the napkin shaped in such a way so that as you would dunk it in the liquid butter and start sucking on the liquid butter off a napkin. And I wanted to say to her, you know, if you grew up with people that do that, have at it. You know, congratulations. Must be great. But I didn't say anything. I simply said to this guy, Barber, that I had been offended. But this is what standing up for yourself is about, and I think we're getting sidetracked here.
All right, let me just get a phone call. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, talking to Don Berman. And here is John in Mobile, Alabama. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, enjoy your show. The gentleman
Thank you.
You're talking to, it sounds like he's not standing up for anything. Sounds like he's extremely too sensitive right there. What you did is this woman is probably trying to feed her family being a waitress, which, if you've ever waited or served tables, it's a hard job there. You have to deal with everybody. You have to please everybody. But you got this woman suspended because you're wearing your feelings on your shoulders. Let me ask you this. If you would have gone to an all-you-eat buffet and you would have asked for some extra rolls and they didn't bring it to you, would you have gotten her fired for that, too?
I mean, come on,
you
Mr.
Know, what has happened here is that Mr. Henry took a certain point. No, Mr. Henry took a certain point of view that now all of your little fans out there, Phil, are going to.
No, hope to have a little more respect for people than that. All right.
But we had established what our TV special was about, and now you have taken this incident, and now this gentleman and other people are calling in and saying, "Yeah, Phil, you're right." I'm telling you, sir.
No, on your, you're a TV commentator. Have you ever offended anybody on TV? And has anybody gone to your editor and said, "Sir, I was offended by this. This gentleman should be taken off the air and take you out of feeding your family"?
I'm not being personal with people. I'm not singling anybody out and saying, "You, John, in Mobile, Alabama, here's what I think of you." I'm giving opinions about the national scene. It's very different than walking up to a man and saying, "And you must be the fat pig that got the extra cheese."
She didn't say
but
that,
she didn't
though.
Call
that's,
you
in
a
your,
fat pig.
That's in your mind.
Did she call you a fat pig?
I beg your pardon?
Did she insinuate it?
Here's what she said. She said, "And you must be the one that gets the extra cheese."
Did you order extra cheese?
You know, I bet
did you order
really
extra
got...
cheese? Did you order extra cheese?
Yes, I did. That's not the point.
That's what we think is the point.
Oh, boy. Who's the reporter here, me or you?
Did you ever look at this? You said she looked at you up and down. She could have been flirting with you. Did you look at it from that aspect?
Flirting with me? Let me tell you this much. If she were flirting with me, she wouldn't have had a look of pure disgust on her face.
No, that's an opinion.
She wanted to vomit.
That's your opinion.
I know what someone looks like when they're ready to vomit.
For instance,
if I were to look in a mirror right after meeting you.
It's all an opinion.
And
it's an opinion, but if I were to look in a mirror right after meeting you, I'm sure I would have a look of...
All right, okay. John, thank you. We got to take a break. Very good call. 877-876-PHIL. Don Berman from Channel 19 News. How to stand up for yourself. He got a girl suspended because she said, "You get the extra cheese?"
Phil and
boy, you can lie quicker than anybody I've ever heard.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Back here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We've been talking about a special on Channel 19 News that Don will be hosting called Standing Up For Yourself. Now, Don, you are over at Littles right now, correct?
So I am at Littles, and I've got John Barber here. John is the manager. John, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
John, can you first of all tell me about the waitress and what we're talking about here? Am I Phil Hendry, and we're live on the Phil Hendry Show. This young lady that I had you reprimand had said to me, "You must be the one with the extra cheese," and gave me the smart aleck look. Tell me about, a little bit about her.
Well, she's about 21 years of age. Name is Melissa. And
you can say she has a child that's disabled?
Well, she has an autistic child, yeah. She's brought the child into work.
Right, and she's brought this child into work. I wanted to mention to Phil, the child, and it's very sad when you have an autistic child, no question. But the child sits in the restaurant while she's working, correct?
We allow her to, some days, yeah.
And what is the noise that an autistic child, because I heard this, Phil.
Well, I don't know.
You made it when we were off the air.
Like that.
Right. Phil, I want you and your listeners to note that...
I don't know that you're helping your case here, Don.
Excuse me?
I don't know that you're helping your case talking about this girl, this waitress, that you got suspended without pay. She has an autistic child that she has to bring into the... I got to tell you something right now, big man. No offense, but when I hear about a working mother that has to bring her kids to her place of work because she has no one to look after them, that really bothers me.
Hold on.
I'd have to agree.
Hold on. That's not my fault.
I'm not blaming you for that. I'm not blaming you for that. I'm not blaming you for that, but I am saying...
Hold on for a minute. Didn't she say, I'm talking to John Barber.
You said that she said that you looked like a fat slob or something. And what happened was you said there was not enough cheese.
Right. That was the part I left out. It didn't matter. I said, they brought the Reuben, Phil, and I said there's not enough cheese on it. They came back with it. And that's when they came back and she said, "You must be the one that gets the extra cheese." And that's when I took exception because, yes, I had sent it back because there wasn't enough cheese on it.
Right. And that was, but you do that a lot, Ms. Berman.
No, I do not do that a lot, and I really resent that.
You've come in a couple of times.
The point that I'm making here, I'm going to let you go, John. You're a good man. Thank you. That's John Barber, Phil. And
thank him for us.
I will. I said, I don't send it back. I want more cheese on it. That was, so it came back the second time. But when you ask for more cheese, and they come back and they say, you must be the one that wants the extra cheese, I don't think it takes a brain surgeon to realize you are being insulted.
I have a problem with the way this girl is treated.
Hold on for a minute.
Oh, well, no. With an autistic child, when a woman has to bring a kid into work, man, there's nothing in this world that makes me feel more sorry and pisses me off more for the plight of a mother than the fact she's got to bring a child into work.
I agree, but I didn't do that. And you're making it seem like I did it. All I'm saying is, like, she came back with the cheese on the Reuben and looks at me like I'm a pig. And I tried to be polite. Her kid's in the corner, Phil, going, All right. And
was her child doing that while you were getting your lunch?
No, her child was not doing that while I was getting my lunch, but that is what is in my mind as I'm looking at her eyeballing me and saying, here's your cheese.
Well, you know what? The more you tell this story, the more rude this girl sounds, and frankly, she didn't sound near that rude when you first started talking about her. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Charlotte in Pasadena, listening to us on KTLK. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Yes, I feel like you're being very oppressive to a waitress, and she didn't. Did she call you fatso? Did she say the word fatso?
Oppressive? What is that?
Did she say the word fatso?
No, she did not use those words, but she gave me that
all
look.
Right. Okay,
like
she
I'm
gave you that
pig.
Look. You know what?
Yes.
I've been an overweight
yes.
person, too. Hello? I've been
right,
an overweight
person. You know what I'm talking about, then.
Yes, but, sir,
right.
I think you're being very oppressive to a waitress, and the waitress is one of the lowest jobs around, and I think you're being very oppressive to her, and
what
I don't
is this
really
oppressive?
Appreciate
I don't understand.
What you're doing.
What is this oppressive? That sounds like a politically charged term, and I resent
no.
that.
No, well, you know what?
I'm not out here trying to oppress people. I'm
know
here
what?
Trying to get. I'm trying to get a Reuben
know
sandwich.
What? I think you've got a really huge. Can you hear me? I think you've really got a huge ego problem. That's my opinion.
No. What our special, and Mr. Henry had told you. Our special was about standing up for yourself. You're an overweight woman. You should stand up for yourself, too. If you go and get a Reuben sandwich and you
stand
order...
Up. But the point is, even before I had an autistic child, I don't think
you
had
very overweight.
A waitress suspended. I don't think it was
I
right. You had a waitress suspended.
First of all, you are brought... Your phone is caught in a fold or something.
Okay, I can't really hear you.
I can't hear you either. Your phone is...
All right, why don't you say what you need to say, Don, and Charlotte, you just listen.
All right, here's what I want to say to Charlotte. When you go into the Salt Shaker there in Pasadena, I know Pasadena very well, and you get a Reuben, and you say, hey, you know, because you're in a hurry. Hey, you, let's get some cheese on it. Now that...
Oh, now I get it.
What do you mean, now you get it?
Hey, you, let's get some cheese on it.
What about it?
If you're sounding rude to that, if you talked rude to that girl in the first place...
No, I didn't.
If you say, hey, you, let's get some cheese on it...
I'm saying it the way a man would say it, the way anyone would say it, in a good-natured, very sporting way. Hey, you, let's go. Let's get some cheese. It is not... No, you're... You see, you have been infected by this woman's attitude of oppressive, and believe me, I know the lingo. I know the code word. Oppressive, that means she's some kind of a lefty that thinks... I'm a part of the capitalist pig system. So in her own way, she's already called me a pig. And she's overweight, which I think that's the pot calling the kettle a little, I don't want to say black, because I don't know who I'm going to offend, the pot calling the kettle metallic. Phil...
This is ridiculous. If you said to that girl, hey, you, let's get some cheese on it, no wonder she reacted in the way that she did. Matt in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening on WPLZ. Matt, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
What's up? I'm a sous chef at a restaurant in Chattanooga, and mostly what we do when we do tables is we have multiple seat numbers. So we have food runners, we have servers, and so I don't know if the person who took his order heard him say, I want extra cheese, but, like, we do seat numbers. So there's two people there. You say seat one, seat two. So when they bring him the extra cheese, they say, hey, you had the extra cheese, and they bring it to him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, no, this girl took our order, though.
Okay.
You see? So when she came back, she already knew I was, and this hurts me because I happen to think I'm a pretty good-looking guy.
Didn't you say, though, that you she brought to you and then you sent it back, you wanted extra cheese?
I said, yeah, I said.
You, what he said was, sir.
Don't tell the guy. This guy doesn't know.
Yes, he does, and I want him to know, Matt. He said, hey, you, let's get some cheese on it.
And you're making that sound like that's rude.
Well, let me ask Matt. He's a food server. If a guy said to you, hey, you, let's get some cheese on it.
No, I'm not.
How's it sound to you?
I'm a sous chef.
Oh, you're a chef. Well, but you know food servers. What do you think they'd think about some guy going, hey, you, let's get some cheese on it?
I said it in a good-natured way.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I work in pasta. I work in fine dining. And most people love extra cheese and extra butter. It doesn't mean they think somebody's fat. I mean, most food we cook on, as long as it's organic and everything good, an extra cheese, extra butter is good, you know?
She's saying to me, and she says, and you must be the one that wants the extra cheese. And she drops the plate.
I'm telling you that when you said to that waitress, hey, you, let's get some extra, you sent it back, right?
I said, I need more cheese on this. It's called a Reuben. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it comes with Swiss cheese. Anyone that gets a Reuben without cheese, there's something wrong with that individual, if you want my honest opinion. What's the point of getting a Reuben?
It's a fried sandwich. It's a delicious sandwich. It's a fatty sandwich.
I beg your pardon?
Well, it's a fried sandwich. You fry it in the rye bread, and you got cheese. Frankly, I'm getting hungry now listening to this.
Yeah, you better believe you are. So when I say I want extra cheese...
But that's not what you said. So, Matt, I appreciate your point of view, sir. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Moving over to Jules in Eastern Shore, Maryland, listening on WWKB. Jules, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you gentlemen doing?
Yes, sir. Good.
Okay.
Hello, Jules.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much. The point that I made, though, was that I said you get extra cheese.
I know that. Let's listen to this gentleman.
Okay, well, this is my point. You're an honest man, hardworking. I'm sure you haven't stole anything or robbed anybody. So you paid for every ounce of weight that you got honestly. You bought all your food honestly, your drink honestly, you know, unless someone took you out to dinner or to a wedding reception or what have you. But the point being is people are too sensitive today, especially in something like this. 2 weeks was a little steep. That lady should have maybe got a couple days off and that should have been it. But anything 2 weeks, that's really too harsh. That's not like she came up and spit on your sandwich and then walked away. You know, not that she should have did that either.
I beg to differ, sir. The woman, and you must be the one. Let me ask you, I don't know what you look like, but let's say you're a fat man, and she comes up to you and says, oh, hey, all right.
I'm
what if she comes up to you?
I'm 6 foot 290.
All right, she says, hey, Jules, you got to be the guy ordering the extra cream and cheese. Why? Because you look like it. I find that rude.
Boy, you're stretching this story, though, man. I mean, you're making it sound a lot worse. When you first told me, all it was, and you must be the one with the extra cheese.
Yeah.
And now it's like she's looking at you with a leering eye. She's looking you up and down like you're a fat pig.
Right.
You know, she brings back a napkin.
She brought back a... What if someone brought a napkin to you, Jules, while there's melted butter on the table?
I'm talking a napkin.
No. You're not listening. If there's a dish of melted butter and she brings you a napkin and hands it to you with, like, one end of it, stick, you know what I mean?
Oh, come on.
I'm asking the other gentleman.
It's just like what you said. She came in and she gave you, oh, you're the one that wants the extra cheese. Then you say she drops the plate, which is like 10 minutes later. She drops
the plate. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I mean,
said that originally.
No, you didn't say that originally. You didn't say that originally.
Hey, I've been listening to the whole conversation.
No, you didn't answer my question about the melted butter.
He seems to think that if she brings you a napkin with melted butter, that means she thinks you ought to dip the napkin in it and suck on it.
That's exactly what that means.
Get the heck out of here. I just thought that I could clean it up if I have a mess.
You know, Mr. Henry, I came on your program to promote a program that we're having on channel. You've turned this into a laughingstock. You're having a good time with your listeners. You're not doing me any good.
Listen, your show, your show that you intend to put on is commendable, but it should be focused on things that really matter. I mean, this is a situation. It could have. I mean, you told the manager you could have got her a couple days off, but 2 weeks. And now we're finding out that she has an autistic child.
He wanted to fire her. I said, don't fire her. Give her 2 weeks without... And the autistic child, I'm sitting there having to eat... I'm trying to eat a meal, and I'm hearing...
That don't matter.
God, that doesn't matter at all. And that poor girl bringing... You know, boy, I tell you, once again...
Yeah, I know, Phil. You're Zorro for all the poor single mothers out there.
I'm not being any kind of... I'm just saying it bothers me. Hey, Jules, thank you for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As we continue talking to Don Berman, I don't know. There's certain things, you know, you hear that. When I hear about a woman who is so hard-pressed she has to bring her kids to work with her, man, that just... There's a man somewhere that isn't doing his job. That's what I'm thinking. There's a father someplace that ain't being a father. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Very touching.
Back here with Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Are you having something to eat now?
I got to go back and go to work. And I want you to know that I do appreciate very much being on your program and very much talking about our series next week, Phil. But I was not going to be on your program to have you and your listeners dissect.
No, I understand that, but you realize that what I do on this show is I look at when you tell me that this is an example of you standing up for yourself, getting a waitress suspended for 2 weeks without pay with an autistic kid.
No, I know. You turned it into a touchy-feely moment for Phil Hendry, which I understand.
No, I didn't. Not at your expense.
Not at my expense. I see. All right.
Don, I...
No, it's okay. Believe me. I'm going to have something to eat. I'll finish doing the hour with you. I think I've been handled roughly.
And you don't think you making noises like that woman's autistic kid...
Oh, come on, will ya? Everybody has got a problem. Everyone's got a big problem now.
Oh, and you don't with the,
That was insulting for her to look at me like I was, like I had a blue ribbon hanging from my nose.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. We got Mark listening in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Mark. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman.
Hello.
Yes,
I just
sir.
I wanted to say... This guy might be in a war. Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay, I say this guy might be an award-winning journalist, but he's coming across as a complete idiot and a total jerk. He's way overreacting.
I'm an Emmy award-winning journalist, sir, and if I'm overreacting, I'm a journalist, so I'm going to overreact to things that the average person doesn't overreact to. I'm going to notice when people are being rude, and maybe you don't. I don't know how much you weigh, but there are a lot of ways for people to look at fat people and make a comment, like, hey, you're the one with the cheese, uh-huh.
Well,
who cares?
I mean, if...
I do?
If you're so self-conscious
about...
Let me
have a garlic bread.
Yeah, if omelet. You're so self-conscious about your fat stomach, why didn't you order a salad?
Omelet, yeah. Hold on. Yeah. And the omelet.
Don, are you ordering breakfast?
I am, yeah.
Well, we're on the air still.
I apologize. What did the man say?
If you're so old, why don't you order a salad?
Okay, that's fine. I guess this guy wasn't listening.
All right, anyway, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Roberta here in Boston. Go ahead, Roberta. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes.
For the guy?
Yes.
Yes, well, I look at it in a different way. He has a program saying stand up for yourself. And in order
stand up
him,
for yourself, yes.
And in order
exactly.
for him, and that was not a good example because
yeah.
in order for him, he wasn't standing up for himself. He had to tell the manager who he was, what company he is involved with. So the manager had to react to him because he didn't want to lose the business of the whole company. So he wasn't standing up for himself.
But I'm Don Berman. I'm with Channel 19 News. I'm obviously going to tell him that.
Well, why?
So he knows what he's... I'll tell you why.
If you want to use that as an example of standing up for yourself, the average person doesn't have that influence.
What? Okay, then I guess in your world, Rabuda, a police officer doesn't show his badge. Oh, okay, I get it.
Whoa, wait a minute. A police officer has the right to show his badge because his job entails being in the public and interceding in certain situations.
What? Boy, was that tortured. Man.
Wait a minute. What do you mean a police officer doesn't show his badge?
I was showing my badge. That's what I'm telling Roberta. Excuse me, Roberta. I'm Don Berman. I'm with Channel 19 News, so could you just back off and let me breathe here? Yeah, I wouldn't say that, but you know what I mean. I'm Don Berman. I'm with Channel 19 News, Roberta, so...
Why couldn't you have just said... Why couldn't you have said I'm a customer,
I'm with Don
and
Berman,
I'm upset.
And my name,
you don't have to...
My name is...
The average... If I went
Channel
19 to,
News.
If I went up to the same manager and said, I'm Roberta, I have a problem with the waitress. I don't have any influence of who I am.
Well, that's true.
You're
you
using
don't.
It.
And,
you're,
and that
you're
is
using,
the result of your own
your
choices
status.
In life.
You're using your status. It's not was not a good
I've,
example.
What
and that's all I'm saying.
Life. Well, I'm using what I've worked hard for in my life. And what I've worked hard for in my life is the ability to walk up to someone and say, I'm Don Berman, Channel 19 News. Let's get it done. Now,
that's
what I worked for.
That's
in your
fine.
Life,
but that's not
you
a
never
good
worked
example.
For it.
That's fine.
You.
That's for you. But you, what I'm
that's
saying...
That's right. That is for me.
That's
and
for
I
you.
Said to that,
that's
to
fine
that,
for
said,
you.
For me. For me. That's for me.
But,
and
but
I said
you're
to
using
yeah, but
that
the other person...
I'm saying... I'm Don Berman, Channel 19 News. That waitress bothers me. Get me another one. And they get me another one.
Okay.
You,
but you
Roberta,
are using...
say that, and they don't care.
Yeah, but see, Roberta's saying you're using unfairly your influence in a situation, certainly, where a girl has an autistic son.
Who is it, Roberta? The boy's autistic. While I'm trying to eat clam chowder, I'm hearing him go, na-na-na, right?
So was your problem with her reaction to you, or was your problem that you didn't like the noise her son was making?
My problem was she, first of all, didn't bring the right amount of cheese. When she did, she made a rude comment, and as I was trying to tell her about it, her son went, "Baha," like that. So all three wrapped together. It was like an extra layer of cheese, of the cheese of trouble.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Some people will take my lunch. They call me names.
Go yourself, you douchebag.
We have a double dip coming in housing and the residential sector.
Blah, 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 blah. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show.
Blah, 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 blah.
That knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and every night we take you through the looking glass to get to that. And our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, with live streaming video and audio of the show. Podcasts available every day on iTunes. Three different podcasts, two of them free, one for our subscribers, which is our daily show, and, of course, our archives. And that's really the right arm of the Phil Hendry Show is our website. So head over there, get a backstage pass, and figure out what the hell is going on with this here show. And also, of course, you have the comment section of our news feed. You can weigh in there. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And joining me this hour, of course, is Robert Leonard and... Bud Dickman, did you guys see any news you like?
Well, I did see the one about, you know, I think you ought to be talking about it, the mosque.
Yeah. If you've talked about it, I don't know.
The mosque? Yeah, I've talked about it.
Yeah, but I mean, that the mosque sitting here, 9/11 family and all that.
Are you guys serious? You don't give a crap about that, do you?
Well, it's probably what you ought to talk about.
I'm asking you, is there anything you want me to talk about? You don't have to talk about the mosque.
Well, what about Miley Cyrus?
What about Miley Cyrus? There's a Miley Cyrus story?
Yeah, there's one man, she's splitting up with a guy, Liam Hemsworth. But I don't know.
You know what? You guys got nothing going on, so I'll just go ahead and I'll talk about the mosque. How about that?
Yeah.
She's splitting up with Liam Hemsworth.
Well, it's right here. See?
I got it, bud. I got it. Miley Cyrus is ending the summer as a single lady, the teen queen. Yeah, get out of here with that. All right, so the mosque, here's the latest on the mosque. Apparently there's a big bunch of people that are assembling. One is the families, well, one for and one against, but these are the families of the 9/11 victims. The planned mosque and Islamic Center blocks from Ground Zero got a new boost Wednesday from a coalition of supporters that includes families of September 11th victims. New York Neighbors for American Values rallied for the first time in a municipal building near Ground Zero. I lost a 23-year-old son, a paramedic who gave his life saving Americans and their values, Talat Hamdani said. And supporting the Islamic Center and mosque has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with standing up for our human rights, including freedom of religion. Now, the thing about AP, folks, please understand that those members of the 9/11 families that were there amounts to like one. That's it. That's the only person. So, in other words, Associated Press, in a brazen and blatant spinning of the news, cites one person as a member of the September 11th families who is in support of this. I'm not saying that there aren't more, but they've only been able to figure out one here. This entire crowd, this entire story. Nonetheless, among the nearly 2,800 people killed when the World Trade Center was attacked in 2001 were more than 30 Muslims. She noted, this lady, Ms. Hamdani, opponents of the Islamic Center Project argue its insensitivities to the families and memories of September the 11th victims to build a mosque so close. Supporters cite freedom of religion. The people that are supporting the mosque keep just completely missing. They can't be that stupid, so I think they're missing it on purpose. They're missing it on purpose.
What?
It's not about freedom of religion, man. Anyway, it's not about freedom of religion. It's not about being insensitive to Muslims. It's not about any of that. It's about timing. It's about sensitivity. It's about understanding the events of that day. And I'm going to say something now that people are not going to agree with. The families of the victims, the family members of the victims, are given far too much voice in all of these things, and I'm going to explain myself.
Man, that bad, man. You know those people have a right to say.
Now hold on, I'm going to explain myself. They are people who are bereaved to this day. They are people who have lost loved ones, and we respect them and we honor the sacrifice that their family has made. And we support them. We do not necessarily do ourselves a favor when we adhere to their opinions, because their opinions are attached to a certain emotional reality that don't necessarily abide truth or what is smart.
What are you talking about, man? You saying a 9/11 family don't have no right to say nothing?
No, I didn't. Did I say that, bud?
You got to watch it, man, because the 9/11 family, the one that the people died, they have a right to weigh in.
I didn't say they don't even have a right to weigh in. What I'm saying is you can't give their opinion more weight.
What do you mean, man? What about a lady who kid get murdered and they're going to talk to her in a prison?
What? What'd you say?
You mean like at trial?
Yeah, that's fine. We hear from the victims. One of the reasons why we allow victims' families to speak at trials, one of the reasons why we allow victims' families to have that voice is they never had that voice. They want to vent. They want to talk. They want to give. They want to unburden themselves. They want to be able to confront the attacker. They want to be able to confront the person that visited this pain on them. However, no judge looking through the clear eyes of the law, no judge is going to say, well, this family suffered a whole lot, so what I think I'm going to do, and by the words that they're using, and they're so angry, I think I'm going to do is I'm going to throw out the law. I mean, I'm sure he's going to take into consideration the loss, of course, and the victims' families have a right to speak, of course. But you don't use them as counsel, is what I'm saying. You don't say to them, well, what do you, one of the stupidest things that I've ever heard in my life was, I would go to the victim's families and ask them, what do you think we ought to do to the guy? That's not even American, man. I mean, that's not law. That's not using evidence. That's not using the trial process. That's not using a deposition. That's not using any of the elements of what we have fought so hard to achieve when we talk about putting someone on trial, when we talk about evidence and facts. That harkens back to the days of hue and cry, you know. You know, there was a time in the history of law, or if you want to call it that, in the time in the history of society. You know what hue and cry is, bud?
What? It was that cartoon?
No. Do you know what it is, Robert?
That's what I was going to say.
A cartoon. So both of you idiots thought it was a cartoon.
I don't know, man. What do you mean an idiot? Talk about that.
Hue and cry.
Yeah, I thought it was a cartoon.
It's not a cartoon. You never heard the term?
No.
Hue and cry means putting up a big hue and cry, screaming and yelling. Okay?
I thought that was a cartoon.
Yeah, so I gathered. There was a time in the early days of our of jurisprudence, if you want to call it that, in the early days of judging people, Jesus was convicted by way of hue and cry. Meaning the judges said, okay, here's this guy, when they brought him in front of those judges, and he did this and that, and what do you think? And everybody said, yeah, kill him. That's what we used to do. For centuries, we used to do that. And, of course, there is an element of that, man, when we talk about these 9/11 families.
But you're saying that people are, if they're one of 9/11, that they want to kill a guy or something. I'm not saying that.
Well, what are you saying then?
I'm saying you can't say ignore them.
I didn't say ignore them, man. What I'm saying is you don't use the families of the victims of crime as the judge. You don't use them as counsel. You cannot do that to them. It's an unfair thing to do to them. They are emotionally compromised. You have sensitivity. You certainly let them weigh in. You want their opinion, but they don't have the final word. They cannot have the final word. Not in a world where we go by evidence and law. No.
Oh, man. Okay, what if they said that they don't want to have no mosque? I bet you'd say, yeah, look, even the family don't want that.
I might say that, yeah, but I wouldn't say that they're the judges on this thing. I wouldn't say the judge. I would say, what's the legal precedent? Has there ever been a precedent in the history of this country? And you know what I mean by precedent, right?
Yeah, like Obama.
Boy, are you dumb, man.
No, man, he meant like something come before.
What?
Precedent, P-R-C, you know.
You know, you say that people...
You want to not belch in my face, bud?
I'm sorry, but you...
No, do you want to not belch in my face? You just belch right in my face.
Wow, man, wow.
I'm sorry.
Precedent. What's the legal precedent in this country, if ever, where people have said, or a city, a municipality has said, you know what, we're not going to put the building in there, because there seems to be a sentiment, a popular sentiment, a public sentiment, this might be bad at this particular time for the city to make this move, politically perhaps insensitive, and I think we can put this off, or we can move it over here, do something else. Are you telling me this is the first time in the history of the planet Earth where a municipality and the citizens of that city, some of whom have said, we don't want you to build something there. Bull crap. You got to be kidding me, man. They do it all the time. You listen to some of these people, you swear to God, oh my God. What did you say? Well, I was thinking maybe we don't have to. How dare you? Why, I've never. Come on.
Well, I mean... All right, yeah, but I mean, they bought it. They had a right to put the land there. You know, I mean, not the land. Land's already there. But, I mean, we're not building the land, right?
No, they're not building land. We're going to put a mosque.
Right. So
they're going to build the land? Did you really say that, Robert?
I'm being confused. But they bought it.
No, you're right. They bought it. They own it. It's theirs, I think. They have the land, and it's been given to them, and they're going to raise the money, and that's where that's at. But I refuse to believe that it's never been done before in the history of America that a city or a group of concerned citizens have not at least moved to say we'd rather that that not be built there. Are you putting me on, man? All the time we got jackballs talking about how they don't want this part of the town burned down or this part torn down because that's all historic over there, and they don't want to see that building move there, and they don't want to see something built over there because it's environmental. And, you know, we're worried about ducks. We're worried about pigeons. We're worried about everything but people. We don't want a spotted owl to get moved out. We sure as hell don't want the alligator to get killed, and we don't want something else to get killed. But God forbid that human beings have feelings and say, I'd rather that not be built there. Why, is there going to be a duck it'll kill? No, but it hurts me. Well, you don't count. Number one, you're a human. Number two, you're the lowest level of human. You're an American. We know that you don't get feelings.
Boy, man, you're all pissed off about it and everything. Like, you really care about it and stuff.
Yeah, I care. You don't care about it?
I care about it, but I'm all weirded out and everything.
I'm not weirded out. What makes you think I'm weirded out?
Well, you're all jumping around and everything.
You know something, bud? I'm just putting my energy into the show, that's all, you know? Yeah, I care, but I know which side of the bread the butter's on, man. I know this thing's going to get built. And, you know, we're in some kind of a very weird phase in the history of this country where we now believe that everything that's sort of gone before, everything that's sort of made us, which is to recognize that we are a country, you know, and we're all kind of a family of citizens here, and it's got nothing to do with religion, doesn't have anything to do with, you know, there was a violent attack against us, against our homeland, and right now, we're trying to get over it, and we do have the right to demand certain things for ourselves. It's like Don Berman was saying, stand up for yourself. Stand up for yourself. All right, we're going to come back. We've got a few more. I got some audio to play here. Muslim American Talat Hamdani. This is the lady who lost her son. He was a first responder, I guess, or he was a medic. We'll hear from her. We're also going to hear from a Holocaust survivor who gets heckled by some jackass. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, here's the thing here. This is CNN, and this is actually a far more objective and far better reported story. Family members of 9/11 victims support and denounce New York City Islamic Center, a coalition of at least 40 religious. And now, when you hear me read the story, when you hear me mention 9/11 victim families, remember where you heard me mention it, because that's how deep into the story you got to go to find it. Okay?
Yeah.
A coalition of at least 40 religious and civic organizations.
Now.
What do you mean now? I didn't even say anything about it.
You didn't say about family.
Oh.
You know what I'm looking for, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The family.
A coalition of at least 40 religious and civic organizations announced Wednesday the creation of an alliance to show support for the Islamic Community Center and mosque proposed to be built near Ground Zero in New York. Okay, still haven't mentioned anything about families, but it was in the headline. The group has launched a website, newyorkneighbors.org, and announced a candlelight vigil to be held at the site of the proposed center on the eve of the 9th anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 attack. I still haven't mentioned any family members, have I? But there it was in the headline. Members of the coalition gathered at a municipal building in Manhattan to announce the group's creation, and I still ain't mentioned anybody in the Finally, here we go, paragraph 4. Talat Hamdani, whose son was killed in the attack, told CNN on Wednesday, the issue is not about location, it's about our rights as Americans. Now, here is Muslim American Talat Hamdani, who lost her son on 9/11. She tells CNN, this is a constitutional issue, not a sensitivity issue. Oh, I see.
We, the Muslim Americans, are fighting for our rights under the Constitution. This issue is not about the location being proximity to the hallowed ground, because and about sensitivity. It is about our rights as Americans. All those people that died that day, 2,700, they were attacked, they were murdered for being Americans and cherishing the American values of liberty, democracy, and freedom of faith. That's what this issue is all about. We need to honor those people that were murdered that day by living up to those American core values.
Immigrant Muslim American, not a problem, not a problem. But when you say Muslim American, I'd like to hear from Muslim Americans that are not, landed Muslim Americans, but are generationally Muslim Americans, have been here for many, many years. I'd like to know what their opinion is. And as soon as we get that number, anyway. And the other thing that I got to say about that, boy, lady, it's not about sensitivity. Yeah, it is. It's about the sensitivity to people who, were hurt by that, like every American. So I don't know. Boy, thanks for your sensitivity.
We were not attacked by Islam. We were attacked by an organization, ideological organization, Al-Qaeda. And we are not at war with Islam. On the contrary, we need their support. Our foreign policy support. You know, we need their support. We're out there fighting. When it comes for the Muslim Americans to pay our dues as citizens, we pay. We give our lives. We give our lives at the Twin Towers. We gave our lives on the line, in the front. But when it comes to demanding our rights, we have been denied. So it's not about a location.
Denied.
It's about our rights as Americans.
Your rights have been upheld many, many times, ma'am. You got mosques all through New York, okay? It's about one mosque, one place, ground zero. Yes, it is about sensitivity. And, as the man said, one thing Americans know, they know all about their rights. All right, here is more. Amateur video has surfaced at a Ground Zero mosque proponent berating and cursing at a Holocaust survivor who does not want the mosque built in this location. Audio is less than optimal. This is some kind of a confrontation between someone who supports the mosque and a so-called Holocaust survivor.
Go yourself, you douchebag. You are so stupid. You are helping Bin Laden by doing that's right. Because sure, I make you feel afraid.
I'm helping
because you hate freedom. You don't want
to. I love freedom. I'm a Holocaust.
You want to know freedom?
I left on the edge.
You want to know freedom if you hit your
head. I dropped the F bomb.
Boy, Mr. Hall.
I'm going to listen to one guy, that guy who's the mosque supporter, who's a scumbag, and that man who survived the Holocaust going down there and putting himself through that. Do yourself a favor, man. The filmmaker and the crowd come to the defense of the Holocaust survivor. Cut two.
How does it feel to curse out an old man who is a Holocaust survivor? How does that feel?
I have no problem cursing out an unpatriotic, treasonous piece of garbage that wouldn't know the damn Constitution if it's hit him in the face, okay? Got that?
Drop it.
No, I won't drop it. You drop
it. Leave it alone.
You drop it.
Give it a rest.
They're not leaving it
alone.
They're not giving it a rest.
This guy cursed out an old man.
He's against it. So am I, but it doesn't make any difference. Leave the old man alone. Leave
everybody. I'm sorry, but you don't have the right to censor people either. You don't like it.
He's a scumbag. He's right. You know, he's one of those self-righteous individuals who, well, you know what? I know I've been wrong, and so I better just keep on being wrong so I can be right. Still waiting on those numbers about Muslim Americans, how many support it and how many don't. The man says the Holocaust survivor didn't learn any lesson from his experience in Nazi Germany. Here's a guy that was in a concentration camp, and some scumbag, some stupid guy at Ground Zero there, where they're going to build a mosque, is going to lecture this cat on what it's all about to be a Holocaust survivor. It's unbelievable, man. Only this generation of Americans. I watch TV, man. I know. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here in the Phil Hendry Show. I was looking for a number because I can play all of this audio. I can play all these people screaming at each other at the side of the mosque, you know. But it doesn't mean anything, man. It's just people screaming at each other. Like the one guy screaming at that Holocaust survivor. I mean, I know, and you guys have heard, that there is a tactic used by a lot of extremist Muslims. They'll mock the Holocaust. or they will compare themselves to the victims of the Holocaust. They'll say, well, the same thing's happening to us. So the Holocaust itself has become something to use as a, you know, the punchline of a joke for some people. And that so that doesn't do me any good. You know, this guy is saying you just screamed at a Holocaust survivor. Well, of course he did, because he's a, you know. So what I was looking for is an actual figure, a number, and because there's polls every day. If there's one thing we got, it's polls, man. They got poll Rasmussen, and we got Pew, and we've got, oh, my goodness gracious, have we got some polls. There's one poll I ain't got. I can't find it. Has anybody canvassed American Muslims as to their opinion on this issue? It's a seems like a no-brainer. Where do you go find Muslims? Oh, gee, I don't know. Around mosques, maybe? And the Muslim-American communities across this country. And I'd like to know what they think about it. That would be interesting. I'm not saying that that's a deal-breaker or a deal-maker. I'm not saying anything. It's got any more significance, perhaps, than the opinions of the 9/11 families. But it's just a little bit more information, because right now, I mean, I'm listening to a woman who's saying that, you know, this is not about sensitivity. Well, yeah, it is about sensitivity. It is about sensitivity. It may be about your rights, but it's about other things, too. You know, your rights.
Yeah, but what about the Constitution says you can have it?
You know, I don't understand you, man. Are you in favor of this mosque or not?
I'm in favor of it only because it's America. You know?
Right. It's America, and they have a right to have a mosque. I told you guys during the break. What did I tell you?
You said if you're the mayor of New York, you'd tell those Muslims to go stick it.
I did not.
You said you'd, you said that you'd tell them, wait.
Right. That's what I'd say. Wait. We got to give this a little bit of time. You can have your mosque. You got 85 mosques in New York. I don't know how many mosques you got. You'll get your mosque, okay? But this one mosque, guess what? You're going to wait. All right, you can move your mosque, you can put your mosque over there, put your mosque down there, put it over here. Here, no, it doesn't get to go here. And if you really need to have it here, then you got to wait, you know.
Yeah, but that's against the Constitution, too.
No, it's not.
If a freedom of religion.
Hey, bud, just because we got freedom of religion doesn't mean you get to stick a church anywhere you want, man. It doesn't mean that you get to put a church or a mosque or a synagogue or anything else any place that you want. You know, religion, churches, they're subject to the same civil law that the rest of us are subject to. But I'm telling you, right now, did you guys look?
I'm looking all over the place, man. I looked everywhere. I can't find it.
I've looked everywhere that there is to look. I can't find anything. Nothing.
Oh, yeah, right.
What?
You've looked everywhere there is to look, huh?
I've been all over the internet.
Well, I've looked, too. I can't find it. But at some point, somebody should do a poll and say, are you a Muslim? What do you think about this, man? Gallup, Pew, Rasmussen, not a one of you jackasses include Muslim reaction or numbers in all of your great polls. Now, you got numbers about women. You got numbers about Christians. You got numbers about blacks, whites, pinks, and greens. You got every kind of number known to man. You cats can't do a poll on Muslim Americans? What's the matter? You afraid of going into those neighborhoods? I'm just kidding.
What's wrong going in the neighborhood?
I don't know. It might be Nation of Islam types. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, they don't want to go there. That's what they mean about that, too.
No, they don't, man. They ain't talking about Nation of Islam.
Yeah, they are. They don't want to go poll no Nation of Islam.
They're not talking about Nation of Islam. We're talking about regular Muslims, not screwballs. Ironically, according to this news story here, what is Sienna? Oh, Sierra breaks down numbers based on the following religions: Christian, Jewish, Protestant, and non-affiliated, but not Muslims. This is a major polling operation. Sienna breaks down numbers based on the following religions: Christian, Jewish, Protestant, and non-affiliated, but not Muslims. So, and that includes you guys at AP, CNN, and everybody else. Why don't you guys, and Fox, all of you guys that are doing your damn best to destroy each other and get as many people as you can to watch or listen or tune into you, why don't you do some real research? Why don't you do some real reporting and find out what the American Muslim, what his opinion is or her opinion is of this issue? The Siena Research Institute poll, a major research institute, and these jackasses are too afraid to go out and poll Muslims on this issue, which I think it's a Very, very important number. Man, I got to get some information. You know, I want some real information here. We had a guy that called a show last night from Nashville, a Muslim, attends a mosque with a membership of 4,000. He said, and I'm quoting him, he said 90% in that mosque are opposed to the Ground Zero Mosque. 90% of the people in his mosque there in Nashville. Now, I'm not saying that that's representative, but I am saying that there's a whole group of people that we haven't even talked about or talked to. We got a bunch of jackasses standing around at Ground Zero screaming at each other. Some guy's a Holocaust, another guy with his screaming and yelling, somebody's the mother of this and someone's the mother of that. And someone's, you know, and everybody is claiming a moral right and the moral high ground, and they're all just screaming and wailing and beating their breasts on this thing. Let's get a little, let's get some real input on this. How important is this? What is the, what are the folk, you know that 80% of the American people don't want this thing. And most people would say who are in favor of it, well, that's the American people for you, just a bunch of racists, just a bunch of right-wing racists, just a bunch of ignoramuses. That's middle America for you. That's the corn-fed people. Bunch of Bible-thumping, Southern gospel music listening to, funky-ass, wearing leather in the summertime, funky people. But we are the enlightened ones, man, so we know what the best thing is. Well, guess what? I ain't heard from the Muslims.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, I could go out and try to find them.
What are you talking about?
You go out and interview Muslims yourself?
Well, no, not myself, but, I mean, a few. I mean, is that what you're talking about?
No, I ain't talking. Robert, will you listen to me, man? I'm not talking about you going out and find them. I'm talking about Rasmussen.
Who's he?
The guy that does the polling.
Oh, that's right.
You know, the Rasmussen poll?
Yeah.
Who's he? All right, so let's get out of that, man. Boy, what an aggravating issue that's turned into. You know what? At this particular point, the way I'm feeling about this, I don't know. I mean, go ahead and put the damn thing there. You know, it'll be a... You know, they didn't want the World Trade Center in there. And the World Trade Center became a part of the neighborhood and became beloved and people liked it. And then it got destroyed. And then everybody, you know, misses the World Trade Center. And they don't want the mosque in there. But who knows? Maybe if they put it in, it'll become a part of the neighborhood and it will become a very all-American place. And who knows? I mean, it could very well... I could see that happening. And the other thing is, I think we need to understand... Is this a mosque or is it a community center with one room in it that they call a mosque? I don't know. All right, here's another thing that's very weird. And so listen to this. A 5-year-old boy by the name of Edwin Villarreal, or Villarreal, was permitted to leave a Love Field area elementary school in Dallas. That's Dallas, Texas, with a stranger, on Tuesday in a case of mistaken identity that was initially feared to be child abduction. Get this. The boy, a kindergarten student, was found safe and is back with his parents. Police said the man who picked him up from school inadvertently picked up the wrong child.
Bull crap, man. You wanted to touch on a kid.
Wait a minute, man. No. This man's name is Robert Paniagua.
Let me see it, man.
Grab it from me, man.
Well, let me see it, man. Robert Paniagua.
Here, I'll see it. Robert
Give me that. Robert Paniagua.
You don't know if that's right.
Well, that's going to be the official pronunciation.
If you let me look at it,
You just give me that. Robert Paniagua. Maybe that is what it is. Robert Paniagua.
Let me see. Robert Penis.
Give me that. Robert was not charged with any offense related to the child. He was arrested, however, on unnamed minor unrelated offenses and is now in custody of immigration officials because he's not in the country legally. Oh! Wait a second, man. How do they know he's not in the country legally?
They must have checked on his immigration status on account of that's what they're doing in Arizona, too.
Is that Arizona?
Dallas?
Yeah.
No, that's Texas.
Oh.
You don't know what Dallas, Texas is.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was the same state.
Anyway, the incident sparked panic among parents at Maple Lawn Elementary, as you well could imagine that it would, who questioned how such a misunderstanding could occur. District officials said they're reviewing campus dismissal procedures. Well, I guess Paniagua, that's how you pronounce it, walked into Maple Lawn Elementary during the lunch hour on Tuesday and told a teacher he was there to pick up a child. Now, let's pick up this story. We have some audio for you. Here is Lieutenant C.L. Williams. He's a Dallas Police Department spokesman, and he talked to Fox 4. That's Fox 4 in Dallas, Texas, on how this could happen.
There was some severe miscommunication. First off, involving the male who went to the school. He was there on legitimate business to pick up another child. He made a mistake and went off with the wrong child. The youngster in question was too small to realize what was going on and went willingly with this individual.
Now, this mother of a Maple Lawn Elementary student is terrified that something like this could happen.
And that's what really scared me, and I just don't think that there's enough staff to watch the kids, and I think there's so many people that it's like this every day when they get out of school. And I think there's so much going on that they just let them go, and I think anybody's able to come and take these children. And that's what really scares me about
it. Now, here's a school official saying they're changing their pickup policy.
The school is going to change its procedures. Now every parent is going to have to pick up their child in the classroom with the teachers. And they're going to have to sign off to make sure that we know that it's a parent or someone that is authorized to pick up this child.
All right. For instance, you're here to pick up a child, right? Okay, great. Great. You must be the mother of that kid, so go ahead. All right. In any event, Paniagua walked into Maple Lawn Elementary during a lunch hour on Tuesday and told a teacher he was there to pick up a child. And the woman looked around and said, well, we got childs here. Which one? Oh, I don't know. No, he said, but he took home another boy with a similar name. Aha! Authorities said Paniagua was picking up a friend's child, but didn't know what he looked like. The child he took home has the same first name and first initial in his last name as the boy he was supposed to pick up. School leaders realized the student was missing when a parent came to pick up the boy. City and school district police searched the neighborhood and found the boy and Paniagua shortly before 3 p.m. Boy, can you imagine?
I bet you they threw the guy on the ground and everything. Hey, you're under arrest. Don't you move, scumbag. Everything like that.
They probably did, man.
No, they got to.
They probably threw the poor guy on the ground and, you know, put their knee in his back. And anyway, so they realized that the kid was missing when the parent came to pick him up, and then the cops were alerted. They were finally found the boy and Paniagua in the 5600 block of Mesa Circle, which is less than 2 miles from this school, this Maple Lawn Elementary School. School policy on pickups has now changed. Starting next week, you have to have the right kid with you when you leave.
All right.
No, school policy.
Yeah, when you leave the school, make sure the kid's your kid.
Yeah, if you bring some DNA, they'll test it for you.
Right. Make sure you bring a little bit of your DNA. Anyway, school policy on pickups has now changed. Starting next week, parents will have to sign out their kindergarten children, but identification won't be necessary unless the teacher doesn't recognize the parent. Pre-kindergarten children who begin next week will also have to be signed out. Procedures for dismissing students in grades 1st through 5th are also being revisited. Before the policy change, kindergarten students at the Love Field area school waited in the auditorium to be picked up and could leave with whoever showed up with no identification needed. Wow, man.
That's all right.
You know, I remember picking a kid. Of course, the kids, my stepkids were so small, and the school was a Catholic school we sent them to, so the teachers knew every parent there, you know.
Well, they're going to recognize because they see you all the time.
Right. So we were there. Oh, yeah, how you doing? Yeah, hi. If they didn't recognize somebody, that would kind of flip them out. But I anyway, so that's that, man. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Who talks on their cell phone more, black people or white people? There's a new study with the answer, like we need to know this. But barring knowing how many Muslim Americans are in favor or against the Ground Zero Mosque, I guess we're going to have to go with this. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock every night on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Wrap it up here. Now, little boy, I'm here to pick you up and take you home to your mom and dad.
Take your stinking paws off me.
All right, so we have this study here. What, Robert?
No, that's racist, man.
What's racist?
Planet of the Apes.
Oh, will you knock it off? just use the line because of the kid.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I know, but Ape, you can't use a little drop there.
Don't tell me I can't use that drop. I'll use it anytime I want to. Got nothing to do with being racist. I'm coming to the school, I'm picking up the little kid, and he says...
Take your stinking paws off me!
What's racist about that?
Because he's talking to the ape!
An ape he's talking to! An ape!
Oh, well.
Yeah, uh-huh.
God, man, figure it out.
Well, I don't know, man. They said it was racist.
Who did? God! All right, by the way, Robert...
Take your stinking paws off me!
Anyway...
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, man.
I'm kidding around. Will you take it easy? God, man, maybe I ought to let you out early tonight, okay? Why don't you take off and go home?
Yeah, I think I need... I'm tired, man.
You're tired. We're tired. Go ahead. You want to leave, bud?
Yeah, I got a sore throat.
Get out of here, both you guys. Babies.
You want to lock up?
I'll lock up. Blacks talk twice. Here's something racist for you, Robert. Blacks talk twice as much as whites on their cell phones.
That's true.
Yeah. That's according to a new poll, and women talk and text more than men, according to analysis of wireless bills by the Nielsen Company. Of course, that would mean that you guys at Nielsen would know how to analyze a wireless bill. Anyway, the media tracking firm went through the phone bills of 60,000 people. Why, you stinking no-good fascists. Oh, you mean you got them for free? Oh, they gave them to you. All right. The media tracking firm went through the phone bills of 60,000 people and the underwear drawer of another 60,000 for 1 year to figure out that blacks talk an average of 1,331 minutes per month compared with 647 minutes per month for whites. Now, this is information, obviously, that someone's going to take and turn into some kind of a joke. Whites were the least talkative people in the study, which ended in May. That's not true. Hispanics talked 826. See, the reason why this happens is because black people make more use of other phone features and cell phones because they may have fewer home phones. That's one of the things. However, it hardly explains the whole difference. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, 25% of black adults had only cell phone service last year, compared with 21% of white adults. The greater number of black and Hispanics in the South means that it's the most talkative area of the country. I don't know why that made me laugh. The area of heavy texting is less well-defined, but it's generally more popular in the South. It's the most talkative part of the country. Mississippi is unusual in that inhabitants are big on both texting and talking, something Nielsen believes may be due to its black population being relatively large and young. See, I think that is more to the point, the age. And I wonder if there are more young black people. I don't know. The Nielsen panel of 60,000 households was weighted to match the census. However, it is blah, blah, blah. This is where they give you all the thing. All right. Blacks and women talk more on the phone. And that used to be the old joke that women talk too much and they couldn't drive. Well, that's horse dung. So that's the thing. And I don't know. They can't explain. It might have something to do with the fewer home phones. But there were... 25% of black adults had only cell service, 21% for white adults. I only have cell service. Oh, no, I take that back. I've got a landline. I think it must be because black people are inferior to white people.
I heard that, man.
Take it easy. Or maybe they're superior to white people.
That's what I'm saying, man. They communicate better.
Why don't you get out of here, man? I thought you were leaving. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's always a pleasure to be with you guys. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, and live streaming video available there each and every day. New podcasts, classic Phil podcasts going up. Got two more that we have to do. One more, actually, to do this week. Coming up on Sunday nights on our website, it's called Sunday Night Phil. And we feature three classic hours of our archived material going back to the days of yore. Last week we played a Doug Danger bit where he was kicking prom kids out of their limousines. The famous Mongo Chow bit with Bob Green we rolled last weekend. So join us on our website on Sunday nights at 6. Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical direction is Charles Wigan. And our screener and associate producer is Dan Northcraft. The world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.